This is Just Women every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hi, Lucinda. Lovely to have you on the show. As always, it's really nice for our listeners to hear a bit about what you've done before. So can you share with us what you've done before?
Ivana, thank you so much for having me. How did I get to where I am now? Well, it's a very circuitous route, I have to tell you. I started out having left school in fashion. I did a design and tailoring course. I worked for couturier called Belleville Sassoon. So David Sassoon and Belinda Belleville. So I made clothes in their workrooms. Having fallen off a horse, I found I couldn't sit for those long hours. So I moved out of workrooms and clothes in that sense. And I graduated into, what did I move into then? I spent a long time working for a friend of mine who had a dress shop. I traveled around Australia for a year and a half. I came back. I worked for a company that employed temps. Actually, a lot of temps. So I ran a temp desk of about 100 or so people. And then I started, because of my experience making stuff, I started making curtains for friends and blinds and all those sort of things. And rather like Laura Ashley, who started in her kitchen, I started in a bedroom and I hung blinds that were being stiffened over the banisters and all sorts of things like that. And then I had an interior decorating business and I had a shop where I also sold wooden toys. And the recession came and I was married. I had two children and people started doing up their own houses rather than employing. And one thing led to another. I worked for all sorts of various people, but I came to therapy because various things happened in my life, bit of a low point. And a girlfriend of mine took me off to learn Reiki. And it was one of those wonderful things. I realized that I'd always had, that funny feeling of tingling in my hands or, as though I just banged my elbow and I got pins and needles and things like that. And so I suddenly, when I was receiving the attunements, everything became really clear. This is what it was. This is what the energy was going on. But I just didn't know what to do with it. So now I had that possibility of putting all of these strange feelings to work for myself, but mostly for other people. And the master, Reiki master that I had, his wife, the wonderful Angie Buxton King, had a charity that supported and paid for therapists at UCLH. And she still does, the charity pays for lots of therapists around the countryside. And it was via them that I went to work at UCLH in the radiotherapy department, working with cancer patients, both adults and children. And while I was doing that, I also worked in the chemotherapy department of St. Mary's Hospital in the Isle of Wight. So it's all come around in an extraordinary way from some very different beginnings to where I am now. And because I love it so much, I learnt EFT tapping. I know nobody can see me, but I'm here as I talk to you, tapping around my face as though people could. And, the two work together so amazingly well, helping people with their emotional as well as physical problems.
You mentioned EFT, and obviously I know what it is and some listeners will know, but a lot of listeners won't know what EFT is. So tell us a bit about what that is.
EFT, perfect. Thank you for asking. Great question. EFT tapping is the shortened version of emotional freedom technique. And what we do is something bizarre and slightly strange, which is we tap with our fingers on meridian points around our face and our upper body while we are describing the negative feelings, but disruptive feelings, negative feelings, the sort of feelings that hold you back when you think about something that has happened in your life. Because that thing in your life is never going to change. But what we can do is we can stop those feelings of anger or stress or anxiety or sadness or grief or trauma from impacting our lives. And by choosing the right words, and me as a therapist, I would use your words, for instance, Ivana, that described how you felt when you thought about that particular incident. We would use those words which generally speaking are negative because that's what we're trying to get rid of. We use those negative words as we tap on those various meridian points around our face and upper body. And while we're doing that, we are unblocking those meridian points, allowing those negative thoughts and feelings to be set free. So for me, EFT allows us the freedom to acknowledge those negative thoughts and to let them go free so that they no longer hold us hostage.
That's the way you put that is really clear, actually, Lucinda. And what you say is quite rightly, you can't get rid of the memory of something, but it's the emotion you've attached to the memory. And by tapping on certain points, you're clearing that energy block, aren't you? So it flows freely and you don't feel as bad about the memory as you did before. That in simple terms.
No, and actually, if you get right back to where it happened, if a really simple thing like, you know, for instance, somebody who had a car accident and, you know, they get really scared about getting back in a car and driving on certain types of roads and so on and so forth. If you clear the memory of all the feelings they had about the car accident, what was happening at the time, who they felt is at fault, the noises, the smells, the feelings, the sensations that go on around that, means that you're clearing everything to do with that accident. The people in the car, what people have said to you, the experiences that you had before, during and after the absolute crash point. Then it's like those fine cobwebs that hold the centre of a spider's web together when it's attached to the houses and the plants and the this and the that. As we delete each of those fine threads that hold that incident in place, you get to the last one or two, and the weight of that incident, the weight of that story, that happening, can no longer be held in place, and everything collapses and demolishes and disappears. So if you clear everything around something that's happening, that particular happening, that story, that incident, then you really clear everything forever. And of course, during a session, when I'm working with somebody, I'm also teaching them where the tapping points are, so that if something that we've missed might creep back up, then they know how to manage in the moment and clear that last little bit of aspect to do with that particular problem.
It's also likened to the layers of an onion, isn't it? You peel away one layer and another layer comes up.
Absolutely perfect. Yes, of course it is. Exactly. And as you tap, you get rid of something, but another, as you say, another memory comes up, and you then work on that memory until you've cleared all the memories. And when you've done that, then those emotions no longer exist. Those negative emotions no longer exist around something that's happened in your life.
So what would you say, Lucinda, were some of the biggest challenges that people present with, biggest things?
Gosh, I've had people come to me with burnout from work. I've had people come after really traumatic experiences. I had a lovely lady who came to me because she really, going back to the car, who really couldn't drive on anything other than a single lane road after a dreadful experience in her family. And once we got back to her identifying that dreadful experience in the family rather than the fact it was driving the car, then of course that whole ability to drive on the motorway, you know, disappeared. In fact, she and I went on a car journey together, which was great. You don't always have to do that. It's not necessary, but I just wanted her to feel comfortable. And I could, because she lived very locally to me. Grief is a great one. You know, people going through divorces, there is so much grief. I mean, grief is something, for instance, that is somebody dies, you have to move house because for whatever reason, you lose a job, you move a job, you move country. I mean, for goodness sake, all the people in the Ukraine will be going through trauma and grief and every other known emotion that there is going. I spent time in Bosnia, in Sarajevo, and the Bosnians went through very similar sort of stuff of trauma and torture and all sorts of other things that I won't go into on your radio program. But, you know, if you're tapping on that, it takes a lot of layers to get rid of those sort of things, but you can do it. Yeah. And Gary Craig has done some wonderful videos that you can access on his website, Emo, I think, where you can actually see him working with American veterans after Vietnam, you can clear completely these things. You can't take that memory away, but you can clear it of those ghastly emotions that are attached to it, which means that you can move on. Yeah. Because if your reaction to it is the same as, I wonder if it's sunny outside or whether I need an umbrella today. okay, I'll take one just in case. I mean, if it has that amount of emotion attached to it, then you're okay.
Yeah. So the memory's still there. You haven't got rid of the memory. It's just the emotion you've attached to the memory.
Yes. I mean, it is just a story then.
Yeah.
It is something that happened in your life and you can walk past it. So that mountain has been brought right back down to level ground.
Yeah. So obviously you do the Reiki, you do the EFT, you run courses or workshops as well. Tell us about that.
Workshops. Well, I work with a colleague of mine and I teach both Reiki, which I do in person here where I am in London. But EFT is wonderful because we do it on this Zoom platform and we teach people EFT tapping. We do a one-day introductory course and then we do the further levels of that as people get more experienced. And we do it all on Zoom. And we hold mentoring days for people and so on and so forth. So now, you know, we're very international because we have people from Canada and America and the Lebanon and I think Bahamas was somebody the other day. So it's wonderful. I mean, we thought Zoom was going to be the most ghastly thing when we all got shut down and the virus appeared. And for a while, everybody was going, how are we going to cope? And, you know, we were launched into this thing called Zoom. And I remember my first meeting that I had to do, you know, it was, how do I do this? And you're trying to remember the all the things about teaching the history and the points that you tap on and what to say and how to say it and record at the same time and work out how people work together in rooms that go off in different directions. It was all very interesting. But of course, now, 2 years later, it works a dream and we're so thrilled that it has.
Yeah, of course. So you mentioned the success story of the lady and the car and the driving and only being able to drive on single lane roads, yes, if you like. Tell us some more success stories. I'm sure there's loads of those, Lucinda.
Well, I mean, I've had people who have been burnt out from overwork, you know, in the office, in you know, in the city. And it is very much a question of just, again, working through what it is that they're feeling, all those emotions that come up because they've, you know, overworked, underplayed, they've not been with family. So there's guilt and anxiety, you know, will I lose my clients? Will they have me back at work? You know, all that sort of stuff. So there are people who like that. Then, you know, I've worked with people who are going through divorce, several, you know, a number of people. And that's, you know, that has a lot of different stories attached to it. And you have to work on each one separately because you have anger about what's going on. You might have sadness about what's going on. You have blame about what's going on. You have, how do I cope with this? Am I ever going to be good enough in you know, in another life? Will I keep my friends? Will any of my friends still stay with me? And, you know, all these sort of things and who blames who and how do you do it? And, you know, if you've got children, then that's another aspect of life too. I spend also a lot of time working with cancer patients, okay, which is where I started.
Tell us about how you work with cancer patients, Lucinda.
So, all right. So, you know, with cancer patients, I will frequently combine the two therapies, but not always. But, you know, the moment you are diagnosed, have a diagnosis of cancer, I mean, all sorts of stuff is going through your mind. And you need to be able to unravel that thought process, because to be able to get through the other side of cancer, you need to stay positive, because a positive attitude really makes such a big difference. And so we're working on all those thoughts and feelings of what, depending on your cancer, of course, what is happening, what's going to happen, how are any of the possible therapies going to affect you? You know, am I going to lose my hair? What's that going to be like? Will anybody, you know, all the emotions around that, particularly if we're women, we you know, we love our hair and you know, the idea of wearing a wig and having it all shaved off. I mean, it's quite drastic, really. For men, they have much shorter hair, so it doesn't make so much difference. But for us, it frames our face and helps to make us look the way we look. And then you may go into surgery, and then there's the feelings around, will the surgery work or won't it? And then there's, you know, for instance, if you're a woman, you know, something like breast cancer or a hysterectomy or ovaries or any of those sort of things, the impact on our lives, you know, for gentlemen, it might be testicular cancer. And let's say for a man, he too can get breast cancer.
Of course, yeah.
It's not so obvious, but of course a man can, because he still has mammary glands. They may not be developed, but they're still there. And so there are so many emotions that go into that. There's grief, there's loss. Am I going to look the same? Will I still be acceptable to my husband, my boyfriend? Will other, you know, if you're single, will I be attracted to other people? Will I be able to have children? How do I do breastfeeding? I mean, there's a zillion different things, and all the emotions around each and every one of those is really important that you get to the bottom of, because the clearer your thoughts are, the more positive you are. And of course, if I'm able to do Reiki, which I can at a distance, Reiki helps phenomenally with helping you and supporting you through the side effects of chemotherapy and radiotherapy, to the point that, you know, in the years that I have many a testimonial that says, you know, of people who have managed to go on working and that they haven't been held back by the side effects, or that the results that they have attained with the conventional therapies that they're using have been better. Enhanced, far yeah. better than the doctors ever expected, and so on and so forth. So it has facilitated. What it does is it allows the body to integrate the new thing that's coming in. And if you allow your body to integrate it, then it's not so stressful. So a combination of the Reiki, which allows you to calm and be relaxed, then of course everything works so much better.
Wow, sadly, Lucinda, such a lot of great information in there. Time's got the better of us. If the listeners would like to find out more, how can they do that? What's your email address and your website address?
My email address will be welcome@eftworks.life. And they can contact me there for Reiki stuff. Everything's going under one umbrella shortly, but I can't give you the new email address at present, but it will be around. The website is www.eftworks.life or www.holistichealthlondon.co.uk.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much. That was Lucinda Payton-Jones from Holistic Health London with some really useful information on the many benefits of Reiki and EFT.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.